everyone. I am Joe.
I am Gui.
You are now listening to What Do You Think? We already have a Chinese version of this podcast in which we talk about everything around Chinese millennial life. In our newly started English series, we decide to go further, using our great power of roasting to judge non-Asian culture and Asian culture sometimes.
For our first English episode, and hope it won't be the last one, we invited our friend Amy DeSillers, whose Chinese name is She Miao Miao, to talk about her story of being adopted by an American middle-class white family and her life experience after moving to Shanghai.
So, Amy, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Amy. I'm 22, from Charlotte, North Carolina. I was born in China, actually, but adopted at the age of one. And I ended up coming back to Shanghai for university, and I just graduated from NYU Shanghai.
You said you was born in China. What's the story?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm adopted. So I was born, pretty sure, in Hunan province, and lived there for a year in like a fully, like a welfare center. And I was born in 98. So like around this time, international adoption, like specifically American families adopting Chinese babies, is very popular. My mother, actually, some of her earliest memories are living in Hong Kong and Taiwan. My mother's white. My whole family's white. But because my grandfather worked for the government and they were living there, she, for some reason, always said that she wanted to adopt like a Chinese daughter. So even though she already had four of her own kids, she came back to adopt me. And so, yeah, that's how I ended up back in the U.S. And I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's in the American South, you know, with a southern accent when I was very little, which is hilarious.
Do you still have a southern accent?
I mean, a little bit. It depends who you ask. Like, I think when I call my mother, when people are around, they hear my southern accent come out a bit more. But I mean, like, in general, I personally think it's very strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were in the US, you said you were from a middle-class white family. So do you have any connection to like Asian culture or Asian community back then?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my parents were always very supportive. Like, they, you know, would take me to Chinese restaurants or take me to like Chinese festivals when they could. I'm the only one out of my siblings to go to private school. And it's because the school I went to had a Chinese language program. Even before that, my mom got me like private lessons, which was super nice. That lasted for like a week before I said I didn't want to do it anymore. Because I actually wanted to study like German, because my brother studied German. And they're like, no, Amy, that doesn't make sense. You're Chinese, you need to learn Chinese. And I was like, okay, fine. But yeah, I mean, they let me study in Beijing and Shanghai. And, you know, that's something that I don't think a lot of American parents would let their young daughter do. And my grandfather was very supportive. So my mom's dad, he worked for the government, and so he was stationed in Hong Kong and Taiwan, and he used to know Cantonese, so he would teach me the numbers, like how to write. I mean, I felt always a part of my family. Like, I never felt like an outsider in my family, but I think they always helped me remember, like, hey, like, you also came from this place, and we want to help you, like, explore that as much as you want to. And I'm glad that they pushed me when I didn't want to, because otherwise maybe I wouldn't speak today at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and we have introduced you before. You have a Chinese name too, right?
Yeah. She because in that time, like, all of the girls in the Fuliyue do xing She. I think it's because we're like society's children or something.
Community society children. That's why, like,
yeah.
社会主义,
yeah.
Communist, that's why you say She, is it?
Exactly, yeah. And then my name, Miao Miao, it's like little sprout, but that's what the welfare center gave me.
I also know someone will name, like, have a surname called Dong, because it's also party.
Yeah, I also know Guo.
Makes sense. Country, like China.
Yeah.
So back to your life in the US. So at that time, like, when you're in school, like, I don't know, because nowadays we see a lot of Chinese people studying in the US or UK, but back that time, like, do you have a lot of Asian
friends
or like,
oh no, not at all. I had like zero Asian friends. When I was in eighth grade, I dated this ninth grader. He is Korean. And it was my first time dating a guy who wasn't white. And I went to his Korean church. And I walked in, like, everyone was Korean. And there wasn't a single white person. And I was like, whoa, I'm the only white person here. Like, I felt like such an outsider there because I didn't have a lot of Asian friends. But yeah, like, there really weren't a lot. I had, I think, like, one close Asian friend in high school. We're still very close now. He's half Chinese, half Vietnamese. And we met in a Chinese class. But there really weren't a lot.
Do you have, like, any chance to get to familiar with any Asian pop culture by then?
I mean, not really. Growing up, didn't really watch a lot of Chinese movies, didn't really listen to any
Chinese
music.
Yeah, what's your favorite song or singer or artist that you like most in your teenager period?
Well, I liked, like, random indie bands, like, when I was in high school, so nothing Chinese, like, at all.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that movie House of Flying Daggers. It's, like, with Liu Dehua, and they have, like, Zhang Yimou. But, yeah, I watched, you know, like, some Chinese movies in Chinese class.
But you do anything like in class. You know,
yeah,
like,
not in my free time. I'm not watching Chinese movies in my free time. Like, yeah, I mean, but I like the movies that we watched in class. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Does it, like, feel exotic to you?
Not, like, exotic. I mean, I just think the style is kind of different. Also, we watch really old movies, so I just kind of accepted, like, Chinese, this is an old Chinese movie. This is not what Chinese movies are like today, even, like, when you look at old.
Okay.
But at that time, like, when you watch it, do you treat it like a foreign movie or you feel, like, very connected?
No, definitely a foreign movie. Yeah, I definitely didn't feel connected to it. Yeah. Because that's not really, like, the culture I grew up in.
Mm.
And I think also, like, it was a foreign language class. I'm with other American kids, we're learning Chinese as a foreign language. It definitely felt very foreign. Yeah.
We know you exchanged a semester or a year in Beijing during your high school time. How did you make that decision?
Yeah, so at the school, at my high school, one day I saw this organization, School Year Abroad, came to visit. And I missed the meeting, actually, but I went to speak to the director of global education about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's this cool program. Like, you can live in Beijing for a year with a host family. And I just couldn't get the idea out of my head. And my parents were very supportive. And this is where I think they, like, are very good parents and, like, very supportive of me learning Chinese about China and everything. But yeah, it was just, like, this really cool opportunity to live in China and to get better at Chinese. Like, I had taken it in school, but, like, our Chinese class is kind of a joke. So yeah, I think it was a good decision, like, at the end of the day.
Do you have an expectation before you got to China?
Well, that, you know, I remember people kept asking me, like, oh, is China what you thought it would be like? Has it, you know, culture shock? Like, you know, is it different from what you expected? And, like, I went in, I think, with such, like, a blank slate. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I thought that they held their chopsticks this way and they're doing it that way. It wasn't like that. It was like, oh, everything I saw, I was like, this is China. And there weren't really any huge surprises because I didn't have a strong idea of what it would be like beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you remember, like, what's your first impression, like, of Beijing when you got there?
I mean, this sounds so stupid, but, like, I think the first thing I was adjusting to is, like, all of a sudden being around a ton of Asian people. But, like, my whole life is so white. And then all of a sudden you're dropped in China and everyone's Chinese, you know? And, like, of course, no shit, everyone's Chinese. You're in China. But it's, like, I just wasn't used to that,
yeah.
You know? Like, I imagine you, like, just being dropped in, like, a super white town in the States. Like, that's weird. No one looks like you. But this is the opposite. It was, like, people look like me, but it's not people I'm familiar with. Like, I'm familiar with white people because that's my family. That's my life. So that, it was just getting used to that, but also, like, having to use Chinese a lot was hard because I wasn't used to speaking Chinese, like, all the time. But with my host family, they were really patient, and I, you know, had the opportunity to speak with them. So I think those were the things I was getting used to, like, initially.
So when you first hear, like, seeing all these Asian people, do you feel, like, weird, afraid? Because I feel like if we go to a place of all white, we'll be, like, freak out that don't know, like, how to behave. Do you have, like, same problem?
I definitely wasn't afraid, but I wasn't excited. It wasn't like, oh, cool, I finally found my place. It wasn't like that. It was an unfamiliar place. I didn't feel any kind of, like, affinity to these people or, like, you know, any kind of solidarity. It was just like, oh, wow. It was almost like, even if I wasn't Asian myself and still just plopped into, like, oh, everyone's Asian now, you know? It was weird, like, though, kind of blending into a crowd, whereas my white classmates didn't. and, you know, people would go up to them, like, we went to, Guguang, the forbidden city or whatever, and outside, everyone wanted to take pictures with my white classmates. Yeah, and I was like, why do they get all the attention? I'm American too.
What year is it?
This is 2014, 2015.
Even now, like, when I have like foreign friends, white friends coming to Shanghai, it's like, you're going to be a big star. Be prepared. Everyone wants to take selfie with you. Especially if you go to the Bund here in Shanghai. People still do that. Last time, I was with my boyfriend. People don't come take photos, but like, they would just come to you and stare. Like, we were looking on the phone. They were just like, stand next to us and looking at our
phone. I saw this scene has long gone of 2010, I guess.
No.
Also, maybe at the Bund, there are also Chinese tourists, like Chinese people coming from like outside of Shanghai.
Yeah, maybe less opportunity to see like so many foreign people.
Right.
Do you have anything strike you like very surprising when you first came to Beijing?
Yeah, I think the whole like kids with the kai lang ku, that was like, oh my god. Just
what?
Peeing, pooping on the streets, like that was crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
Wait, we have to kind of like explain kai dan ku.
Okay, so like kai dan ku is like, I'm probably not hitting the tones right. I've never seen it like written or anything. But it's like pants, but like with a hole in the bottom. Like just like crotchless pants for babies. Like it's
for boy babies, I think, right?
Boy and girl, I think. I don't know. I've seen boys and girls. I mean, I think it's more convenient for the boys.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, these pants, it's like, okay, on one hand, very convenient. Cool. You don't need diapers. You don't need to change diapers. You just like, you know, open your pants and, you know, just go on the street. But it was also kind of like, I don't know, it's just very different. We don't have that in the US. But
still, I think that thing should be long gone up 2010.
I mean, like, I don't know, like, if it's you lesson. In Shanghai, like, you don't really see it anymore. But, like, if you go, like, other places, I still see people, like, wearing that. I was, like, so shocked. I think because a lot of them from, like, rural area, like, you know, they can do, like, in the field. But then, like, when they come to Shanghai, like, I think it's still a field.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think it's still a culture thing, maybe.
Because, you know, like, there's also a lot of, like, Chinese restaurants in the US, I assume. But then, like, coming here, eating the Chinese food, did you feel, like, a big difference? And feel like, wow, that's actually how Chinese food tastes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely, like, better. Honestly, like, I see Chinese-American food and Chinese food as, like, two completely different things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not even, like, you know, comparing it. Back then, I was like, oh, Chinese food's, like, so good. Not that I thought it would be bad or anything, but, like, yeah, this is so good. There's also so many things that I just didn't know about. In America, we don't eat xiaobian or something. Or, like, we don't eat jiajangmian, really. Or, I mean, I guess the Chinese restaurants I went to, like, didn't have those kind of dishes. This, like, insane kind of... Oh my god, it's so different. Because I think, like, also, before I went, I guess this was one of the only expectations, was that it would be completely different.
Mm. But what do you think, like, because people here eat lots of weird stuff. Do you have the ball to taste them?
Yeah, I mean, well, sometimes I, like, didn't realize what I was eating. Like, I was like, oh, with my Beijing host family one night, I was like, oh, this tofu is so good. And like, oh, it's not tofu, it's pig blood. I was like, what? Like, so, or like, you know, I had like duck neck, I had chicken feet, I had all this other random stuff. But actually when my white brother came to visit in Beijing, he ate scorpion and wangfujing. So he's tabiwo lihai, I think.
I can't eat scorpion even. How do you end up with your Mandarin with so strong Beijing accent? Did your host family have an influence on you?
Yeah, I think so. Because like, I think when my main language learning came from Beijing, and all my teachers, Beijing people. And like,
it's
like
a proper Beijing Mandarin.
Yeah, and like my host family, they're like, So I think that's why. I wasn't ever trying to have a Beijing accent or anything. It just is like...
Xianbiar.
Xianbiar. Our Hunyin is like funny.
I didn't even... Is it like American? Because American English, they do like a lot of R sound.
Beijing.
They would do like a lot of R sound as well.
Well, so living with like your host family, they are all Beijing locals, right?
Yeah.
Is there any like...
different lifestyle
that you noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember really liking the whole like nap culture, like after eating lunch, you take a nap. Yeah, that's like very, very common. Like after lunch, take a nap. That was super nice. Yeah, that was super nice.
You know
nice.
What? I don't think people in Shanghai do that.
Yeah, I feel like Shanghai is definitely different, but in Beijing, at least back then, they did.
What was the nap culture?
Just like, you know, it's like very typical, like after you eat lunch, to take a nap. I don't know, like on the weekend, like that's always what we did. Like, I don't know. And I spoke about it with my other like classmates and their families also did that. And like, we talked about it in school, like in my class, it's like, oh yeah, this is what Beijing people do. Like after you eat lunch, take
that's
a nap.
That's so European.
But the same, if you, I don't know, like when I was in middle school, oh, after a lunch break, they forced everyone to take a nap.
Mm.
No one actually falls asleep. We just do homework under the drawer. Like, everyone just writing homework.
Oh my god, I would have definitely slept.
But also, like, I don't know, have you met any difficulties at that time when you first come to China?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely difficulties. Like, I think, like, adjusting to speaking Chinese was, like, a lot. And, like, other little things. Like, just, you know, figuring out, like, the way things were. Like, you know, not flushing toilet paper down the toilet, like putting it in the trash can, or like knowing like the bus routes, you know, just things like that. I think like in general, it was a good time. Like at that age, I was very, I mean, even now still, but like ready to grab life by the horns, you know, kind of like I was willing to try different things. I was willing to fail. Like, you know, I wanted to explore.
Well, did your trip to Beijing that time change like any feeling about your identity, Asian identity specifically?
I mean, I think at that time, I've never felt like, okay, cool, like, I've been in China now, like, I'm more Chinese. No, like, I think it was constant reminders of how not Chinese I was and, like, how American I really was. And I never thought I wasn't American or anything like that. But no, I don't think that there was this, like, you know, huge emotional, like, I'm, like, you know, returning to, like, the homeland or anything like that. But I think that it was just nice to kind of, like, know a bit more about China, because when you're back in the States, people look at you and expect you to know about it a little bit. So it's kind of like, okay, cool. Like, I've gone, I've done a little bit, like, you know.
Have you been back to Hunan, the place you were born?
Yeah, actually, I went back. Like, so that year, like the winter between 2014, 2015, my parents and my brother, my Argo, they came to Beijing to see me, and we traveled together. Like, we went to Guilin, Xiangang, and then they took me to Hunan. So we actually went to Hunan, and they surprised me. They were like, oh, we're going to go back to the Fuliyuan you lived at. And I was like, oh, wow. And actually, like, they told me a week before they came that they had planned this. And they told me, and I, like, cried. But I don't know why I cried. I didn't, it wasn't like I was excited. I wasn't sad. But I couldn't identify like what it was. When we actually were there, like on the ground in the place, I didn't really feel anything. Because it's not like that was my home. It's a strange place to me. I didn't know it. You know, like I don't know those people who work there. Like, this isn't the place I grew up. This, you know what I mean? Like, Beijing was more home at that point. Because I think also, like, from a young age, it's always like, my parents, there was never a time where they said, Amy, you're adopted. It wasn't like that, you know? Like, I mean, kids don't understand race. Like, I didn't really understand, like, what that meant. But it's, you can't really hide that kind of thing. But, they're like, from a young age, they were always like, oh, Amy, like, we love you so much. You know, you didn't grow my belly. You grew my heart. We went all the way to China to get you because we love you so much. And there's another woman who, like, gave birth to you, but, like, she couldn't take care of you. She's your birth mother, but, you know, we're your real parents. We're your parents, you know? And so, but there was also this understanding of, one day we're going to take you back to China. And that's something to look forward to. But also, like, sorry, but, like, there's no way to find, you know, this person. There's no way to find your birth family. And that was fine because I had a family. Like, it's not like I needed that. And I think that, like, I owe that to my parents, the way they raised me. Because I think a lot of adopted kids, like, grow up with this kind of identity crisis. Maybe because their parents honestly didn't support them in certain ways, like, growing up. But I never had, like, a hole there. So I always felt kind of complete. So when I went there, it wasn't like, oh, I can find my birth family. It's like, no, like, that's very hard, and I knew that. And so there were no unrealistic expectations, and I didn't feel incomplete. So it wasn't like I was there looking for something. I was just there. It was, like, very underwhelming, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know like you had a year in Beijing, and does that made you to have the decision want to study in Shanghai for the NYU?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting because it's like, you know, all these things, like one thing leads to another, right? Like my mom wanting me to go to this private school to learn Chinese, and then, you know, at this private school, I learn about school year abroad. And then at school year abroad, I heard about NYU Shanghai. Junior year is like a very... It's like when you, in American high schools, where you really need to start prepping for college. And there's this representative from NYU Shanghai who came to our school in Beijing. And I was like, what is NYU Shanghai? It was very cool. It was the first U.S. Sino joint undergraduate university. I was really drawn to the fact that it was a very diverse, like there's a very diverse student body, like kids from all over the world, not just the U.S. and China. But it's funny because I went back to the U.S. for my senior year of high school. I applied to Middlebury because Middlebury has a very good language program, very good Chinese program. And I was like, Middlebury is where I want to go. Did not get into Middlebury. I was like, well, fuck, it's fine. Like, you know, I'll go somewhere else. And then, you know, I had applied to NYU Shanghai, and like, I couldn't get that out of my head either. Like, so I ended up getting into Shanghai, to NYU Shanghai. I still remember where I was when I got the email. I was actually in the car driving to vote. For the first time in the election.
Back who in wrote that?
2016. Yeah. Oh. It was the primary. So it wasn't the Daxuan. It was like the smaller ones. And so I was like in the car on the way. I got a red light. Look at my phone. I got an email. Like, oh, you just got into NYU Shanghai. And I called my parents. And I was like, oh my God. Like, you know, and as soon as I got in, like, I couldn't get out of my head. Like, I was deciding between NYU Shanghai and two schools in Washington, D.C. And I visited those schools and I liked them. But then NYU Shanghai like flew me out to visit the school. They had this like admitted students weekend where they wine you, dine you. Like they really want you to go to the school. It's like a you know, a river cruise on the Huangpu. And I loved it. And so ended up coming here.
Sounds like a promotion part for NYU Shanghai.
So when you come to Shanghai, so where do you think of Shanghai? How compared to Beijing?
Well, it's funny because, you know, Beijing and like don't like Shanghai and whatever, and there's like this kind of competition.
I didn't know that.
don't Shanghai pretend. Yeah.
Oh, but, I know because you're Shanghai.
You don't even care about it. Yeah.
What?
But no, like, I remember when I was in Beijing, I was telling my host family, like, oh, I could go to NYU Shanghai, I could visit you guys all the time. And I remember thinking, like, no, but, you know, I won't like Shanghai as much as I like Beijing. Shanghai's so superficial. Beijing, like, yo, what?
Authentic.
You know, you know, so much culture and whatever. And then, you know. And I came to Shanghai, and I was like, oh my God, I fucking love Shanghai. Like, it's so nice. But also, my life in Shanghai was very different from my life in Beijing because I was way more independent. I wasn't living with the host family. I had my own bank account. I had, like, in Beijing, I didn't have Liuliang. I never had Liuliang because it was like, Zhongguo Yidong, and they're fucking Taotan so bad. And so I never had data. I had to, like, go to my Chinese sister and, like, you know, whatever. It was annoying. But here I was so more independent, using Chinese apps, like going around the city more, and like, I don't know. So I think like my life in Shanghai is just really like my adult life.
Mm.
It means so much to me. Like I think about now, you know, I had the choice to go back to the U.S. Like I can't imagine what my life would be like there. When I go back to the U.S., I'm 16 again. Like it's really weird.
And then, but you enjoy your life here. So actually, you love superficial life.
No, I think that I 误解了. It's not superficial.
Oh, you 误解了.
Yeah, 误解了. Yeah, I misunderstood.
Do you find any culture here?
Yeah. Shanghai is still China, but it's just Shanghai. It's just very different. So I think that before I just saw it as this like city that seemed kind of like just so outward facing and international that didn't really have like as much Chinese history and culture, but like there is so much history in Shanghai. It's very cool. Like I'm really interested in like Jewish history in Shanghai, for example, or like I recently saw that movie Bye Bye. Like, that fourth concession zero. Like it's like that kind of stuff is very interesting.
In your Shanghai daily life, what kind of things you do it every day, but every time you do it, you still feel a bit strange. But you are going to do it anyway because it's what local people do for you. So
I mean, I feel like at this point, like there's so much stuff I've already gotten used to. Like I don't know, I have a scooter here in Shanghai, so I feel very local. Like just whipping around traffic, like nearly dying, you know, every corner.
Mm. And also another thing, do you feel like Chinese people being more straightforward? Western people, when they want to talk about something, they want to like say it directly to your face.
Well, it depends. Okay, so like I know, I mean, I'm from like the American South. We put a lot of cushion on everything. Like we would never say like, oh, Nipang, you know, Jesus Christ, that's the worst thing you could fucking say to somebody. That's so rude. Like there's so many things that are so rude to say in the States that people just say here. Like I remember when I was in Beijing, my host mom and my boyfriend's host mom, they're like, oh, in this picture your face looks fat, but in real life it doesn't. And I'm like, thanks. Or like even my soccer coach here, who's Shanghaiman, he's like, oh, Miao Ming, she was like, 最近胖了. And I'm like, mayo, like I, or like maybe I have, but like we're at a team dinner, like why are you bringing this up right now?
Because I think, say, oh, are you recently getting weight, is a kind of 打招呼, saying hi, you know.
Mm. I'm not that sensitive, like I don't really care, like, I don't think I'm like obese or anything. But it's just like, oh, like we would never say this back home.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have like one of my best friends. She's born and raised in Brazil, but she's Chinese. Her parents immigrated there before. And yeah, so like definitely grew up with like Chinese culture. But like her mom will comment on her weight, but she's sad about it. Like it's not really, you know, it's not like people are like, oh yeah, I don't care. It's like people still get their feelings hurt by it. So I don't know.
Mm. So what do you think of, I don't know, Western people, some people being too polite? Do you think they can fake?
Oh, I mean, that's another thing too. Like saying please and like thank you or like, I don't know, just certain things that like we do that I think to Chinese people, like I've heard at least, like it seems like, why would you be so cushy with someone who's like in your own home? It's like, you're not like an outsider. But it's like in the States, like you just are like that to everybody. It's not, yeah. You know.
Because I feel like saying like thank you or like please is being like really formal. It's like a really big thing. You want to thank people. People would be like, oh.
Right.
You know, like it's like really like you did something very, very special or like means so much to you. And right. Like being really formal, you have to say thank you. It's not like being a daily life.
I think I maybe never say thank you to my parents.
And they never say that to me.
Too.
I say thank you to my parents all the time because they like help me do so much shit. But I mean it's just different. It's culture difference. Mm. Like it's no right or wrong. It's just different.
Yeah. But also I think like we more be like if you really want to say thank you or you want to like say I love your sins, you do it from reaction, not from like words.
Just
we think,
because,
like,
right? Yeah. It's more genuine that way. Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing is I always forgot, but like in English, if you want to say no, you have to add a thank you after no. Unless it's gonna be like a little unpolite, but if in Chinese, it would be so weird.
Mm.
It's like too formal.
Yeah.
You only say it to like strangers or people you don't really get familiar with.
Mm.
That means you're not close enough. How to test your relationship.
True.
See if they say thank you to you.
True.
Well, it seems that Asian people don't really have much feeling when they talk to people, but Westerners are more sensitive, especially when it comes to race, I guess.
I just made a joke like, oh yeah, like, you know, white guy, Asian girl couple, cringy, haha, but like, that's my life now. And my white boyfriend got kind of offended. And then I felt really bad because I didn't mean to, like, hurt his feelings, you know? And, like, but I think, like...
But do you think, like, white people can't really take the joke when, like...
It depends. It's true. It's a personality thing. Some white people, most of my white friends would, like, laugh, you know? But I think that, you know, not everyone... I don't know. And it's also, like, he's not American. Americans love talking about race. Non-Americans are not used to that. You know, so it's We talk about race a lot. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think, you know, it's important to, like, understand your privilege and, like, you know, understand, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm Asian, I'm not white, but I also have benefited from a lot of white privilege. But, yeah, so I think that this kind of conversation is not necessarily new for my boyfriend, but I don't know. It was kind of, like, new territory for me. And I, in general, think I'm the kind of person that is that comfortable talking about that kind of thing and, you know, being sensitive to other people. But it was just weird because it's different when it's your boyfriend.
Yeah, it's different
when it's your coworker or your classmate because you just want to be more careful.
Yeah, just depends on different people maybe.
But also, like, sometimes when you wait with, like, white people, you just can feel like they're being... very, very careful. Like, even if they sometimes just make a small joke, like, and then, like, they would feel, oh, we just hurt, like, you as an Asian. And you, like, that moment of them feeling political right to make you feel even more awkward.
Yeah.
You just want, like, them to bring up, we're friends, we know, like, you're joking, it's okay, I can take it, I can even, like, roast back to you. That's, like, make it more natural.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think, like, a lot of people are just, I don't know, it's just new, a lot of new things. You know, like, white people all of a sudden realizing that they're white. Like, you know, like, they never thought about their race before.
Yeah,
you know, and I can't say they, like, every white person's the same, but, like, I think in general, it was my own family and, you know, people I know, like, you're the majority, you don't think about it, you know? You don't have to think about it. And now people, white people are being called out, not always in the right ways, but they are. So, like, people are just more aware of their whiteness, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's definitely something that people are uncomfortable with.
Yeah, a theory that if you get benefit from the society, then you don't really to think about how that come, then you just get used to it, you just take it. But mm-hmm. if you feel like you have less resources than the other group of people, then you become, you know, start thinking why, the reason you're going to look for the root. And I think that's why what you said, that white people may be not really conscious of they are a group of another people.
But to be honest, it's same here, like in China, like people being so freaking racist to other people as well, you know?
Yeah, it's a human thing.
Yeah.
Is there one moment when you feel like you're so Asian?
Yeah, no, actually during COVID I was like, well, yeah, I thought about my Chineseness a lot. I actually wrote my senior thesis about this because, you know, I landed in Shanghai January 20th. It was 4 days before the Wuhan lockdown. And I had the option, like, go home, go to another NYU Shanghai, or another NYU site, or just stay in Shanghai. And I was considering going back to Abu Dhabi because I really like the students there, like some of my good friends, and it's a good campus. But I saw, like, you know, these posts online, some of them well-meaning, but still, like, kind of fucking racist. And then one that was just blatantly racist, you know, saying, like, oh my gosh, like, Chinese people are, you know, like, filthy or something. Just saying, you know, can, like, this person ate a bat, like, oh my God, like, that's so fucking ridiculous and all this stuff. It was just disgusting to see. And I was like, okay, if I go to NYU Abu Dhabi right now, I will not only have just flown from China, I look Chinese, and people on campus will be afraid of me, I think. And, you know, I just didn't want to deal with that shit. And I was like, if I go home to Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm going to be in the fucking grocery store and someone's going to look at me, you know? And so I was very aware of, like, how Chinese I came across. But it wasn't like, oh, I love this song, I feel so Chinese now, you know?
Mm.
I mean, sometimes on the scooter, I guess, I feel like, oh. You know, like,
but I mean, like, if you're on a scooter, we will think, like, you're so foreigner. Because,
yeah,
like,
a lot of
foreigners,
scooters.
Like, here, it's scooter.
Foreigners,
yeah.
Love scooters.
People who are riding scooter here, either you're foreigner or you're middle-aged Chinese.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a delivery guy. Why my delivery guy?
Yeah, it's true.
How's your community here? How's your friends being like, oh, people like you, like, have Western background mostly?
Yeah, it's super nice. Like, I mean, I think Shanghai is, like, such a great place because it's not like New York City. So New York City is a really big international city, right? It's a very lonely city, I've heard. But Shanghai, it's like you go out, you breathe, you, like, can meet people. It's so nice. Like, I mean, I think for a while it was NYU Shanghai. It was, like, my biggest community, of course, because I was there all the time. But actually, during COVID and everything, none of my NYU Shanghai friends were here, except for one, and at least in my year. And so at that point, I was able to see, oh, actually, I have other friends, like, you know, from soccer, from, like, you know, work, and people that I just had met, like, out or something. Like, it's really easy to connect with people here.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, how, I don't know, like, local people see you, because, like, at first sight, you seems like Asian to them or Chinese to them, but
yeah.
They're like,
yeah, I mean, every single cab driver I've ever had thinks that I'm Korean. I mean, I'll be like, I'm American. They're like, oh, but your parents are Chinese. And I'm like, no. And I explain the whole, like, I'm adopted, you know, and stuff. They're like, oh, that's so interesting. You may want to do anything.
How American parents treat you.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's not
the same. That's like, I saw from the movie The Farewell, like,
Like, I feel like a lot of Chinese people, like, yeah. They will ask you, like, is American better or, like, Chinese better? Or, and then, like, you say, like, no, it's just different.
That was so relatable.
The moment I saw Awkwafina in that movie, it reminded me of Emmy. It's another Emmy.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's like, they can't accept the answer, like, it's different. They were just like, so which one is better?
Compare.
They have to compare.
Yeah.
So for now, you said, like, before you haven't watched any, like, I don't know, like, songs or movies, Asian cultures, but now do you, like, watch more as you're in Shanghai?
I'm still pretty bad, to be honest. Like, I have, like, watched, you know, Chinese movies, but I'm not, like, going to the theater, like, watching new Chinese movies that come out or, like, really listening to a lot of Chinese music.
I think it's you, like, introduced me of Rich Brian. Is it you?
Rich Brian, yeah. I mean, that's, like, so, like, I don't think that, I think Chinese people listen, but it's, like, more for, like, Americans.
Yeah.
And more for, like, the diaspora, you know? Like, Asian Americans or Asian Canadians or Asian Europeans or whatever.
And also you said, like, we tell you there's her Crazy Rich Asian.
I read the books. Yeah.
And everyone's that's your crazy. Favorite Asian culture now.
No, I mean, it wasn't, this is a whole rant, but, like, you know, Crazy Rich Asians I thought was just really important because it was a big deal. Like, it was, like, the first time you see, like, in Hollywood, this all-Asian cast. And it's like, yeah, sure. Like, I think a lot of Chinese people, like, didn't appreciate it because, well, you grew up with Chinese movies all the time. I didn't, you know? And so it's like, I don't know. I was, to be honest, like, very annoyed with, like, a lot of my Chinese friends would, like, shit on it. And it's like, yeah, but, like, this isn't for you. This isn't, and, like, you're not going to appreciate it the same way I do. This isn't your story. It's a story of a Chinese-American girl. Mm-hmm. And it's a story of a Chinese-Singaporean, you know? And, like, other people criticize it. Like, it's just highlighting rich East Asians in Singapore. I was like, that's just the story, you know? And, like, it was like, oh, this isn't representing all Chinese people. And it's like, it was never the film's goal or responsibility to do that. And to even think that it could is suggesting that one film could represent all Asians. And we can't, you know, we're not a monolith. Like, that's impossible. So it's like, I don't know, it's just frustrating. It's like, you don't like it, that's great. Now go make your own movie. And there are so many movies that came out since then. Like, To All the Boys I Loved Before came out right at the same time. Like, you know, there's, like, The Half of It, that other movie that came out on Netflix. Also Lulu Wang's film, The Farewell. There's so many more. And, like, I just think that it started, like, a really good conversation. Like, it also, Hollywood realized, wow, Asian people go and buy tickets. Maybe we should, like, create more movies because this is, like, a huge economic block. And it's like, yeah, we're a group worth catering to, you know? So I think it was just, like, a really big deal, and I'm very defensive of it. Like, yes, it was a stupid story, but it just wasn't about white people for the first time, you know? And that was important.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know, like, Asian movie or Asian stars in the West, or, like, everyone here being, he or she's, or this movie is representing the whole China. And then, like, they just comment, like, if they kind of, like, lose face of China from that movie. Most of the time, it's just the movie itself, but lots of Chinese people try to make it to another level. It's about the China, like, showcase to the world. That's kind of, like, annoying, like, every time I saw those comments from people.
Yeah, and it's like, if it was supposed to represent China and Chinese culture, like, yeah, it didn't. It didn't.
Yeah,
you know, but it was, like, not a Chinese national story. It was this Chinese diaspora story. So I think that's also different. Like, of course, Chinese people will see it, like, this isn't China. This wasn't supposed to be China. It wasn't supposed to be, like, you know, A Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or, like, you know, whatever other classics. Like, it wasn't, yeah.
Okay. And even me, well, I didn't, like, I do live with a lot of Chinese movies around. I saw a lot of Chinese dramas, but I do enjoy Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes, I think you were quiet. Cry because I was there so rich, you were so poor.
That is part cried because I think I cried at a scene when actress fight against her mother-in-law, I think.
Yeah. Michelle Yeoh is crazy.
Fight for your independence. Fight for your love.
Yeah. Fight for your love.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
Are you going to continue pursuing your career here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't imagine trying to find a job in the U.S. right now of all times with COVID and everything, but also in general, like you're in Shanghai, your friends send your resume to a few friends, you're in a WeChat group, you have a job, like it's ridiculous. You know someone, you see out, like you network without trying to here. Like it's, and again, like it's really a small town among the foreigners, like it's really nice, like because yeah, you just have these networks. And I'm really excited. Like, I just got hired by my soccer teammate. So, like, I'm going to start working with her at this company called Wild China. It's a tourism
company. Another advertisement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I haven't started yet. But I'm excited to start. But, yeah, like, it's, like, a lot of support here, a lot of opportunities. Like, I see JD's posted all the time. And in the States, I think there are people still struggling to find work who just graduated. So, we'll see. One of my friends is working at Facebook. Another friend's working at like BlackRock in Tokyo. Another friend's working at SpaceX, Elon Musk's company. So there are people finding things, but like in general, I don't know what I would do in the US right now, because before I didn't know what I wanted to do.
What do you find out now?
Well, now I'm going to start this business development position at the tourism company. So I'm excited.
Thank you so much, Emmy, for coming here today.
Thank you. Yay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to our first episode. If you like to hear us make more judgments on non-Asian and Asian culture, subscribe to What Do You Think? And remember to replace the word you with the letter U. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We are also looking forward to hearing What Do You Think? On our show at whatdoyouthink-podcast@outlook.com. See you next time.